Power 107.5, Columbus is number one station for hip-hop and R&B. You tuned in to Any Given Sunday, the only show that's for you, by you, and we cannot do this show without you. So this morning, as I told y'all before, got my good brother, Shay Tolliver, and Mr. Larry Wells in with us from the Count Me In campaign. How y'all doing this morning, man?
We're good, man. What's going on, bro? Well. Up early, but, you know.
Glad to have y'all, man. Glad to have y'all. And, I mean, let's get straight to it, man. I don't like to waste time, man. Let's get right into it. So, you know, we just had, you know, midterms. And from what we're hearing is that less than 2/3 of the eligible voters actually came out to vote.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we see the results of that. We see a resurgence of the Republican Party taking control of the Senate right now, tightening their grip on the House. What does this mean for those that don't know?
I think what it means is once again, the theory was proven that when less people are engaged in the process, that the shift of the victory goes towards a particular party. And
right.
In this case, it's the Republican Party. So I believe that's a large majority base of a 2/3 of the vote,
mm-hmm.
that probably really represents the needs of the people. You know what I'm saying? So because if you have that less of, you know, the population vote, and it's less is always Republican, more kind of, you know, swings away for the Democrats. And I think that's where, you know, voting rights and the whole voter suppression piece was so important, because so many people were, you know, knew that, you know. And I think that the past couple presidential elections, when you actually had that 2/3 vote engaged in the process,
mm-hmm.
where the outcome looked like. So,
I mean, so my question is, how does a president get anything done in these next 2 years? Is it possible?
I think right now he's probably making paper airplanes, throwing them around, ready for 2016 to come in. I think if you're asking for Barack Obama the president or our first African American president, because there's two ways that we can look at that. And the reason why I say that is because I believe he's going to have a struggle. I think what this ultimately means is now that the Republicans regain or they keep their foot on the necks of the American people by way of keeping the control over the House and the Senate.
Right.
I think that what that ultimately can happen is that they can really move to possibly impeach him in a sense, you know, because they've been talking about or making up impeachable offenses that really don't really amount to a hill of beans. But, you know, this is the discuss for what that stands for. Now, when I say for Barack Obama, the first African-American president, you know, and what we're expecting from, you know, this particular dynamic of leadership on this level is for us to echo that in our communities, to say that the only way this man is going to really be able to do anything that speaks for us, or that we can say, not even just African-Americans, but just, you know, poor middle-class people who basically make up the Democratic voter base, you know, I think that that's where we need to realize that it's in the hands of us. You know, we can't expect that 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is where, you know, all the you know, where all the magic takes place and happens, because it does.
Locally, we have to do things locally.
But it does, you know, as long as, you know, it's going to, and I mean, by that is that there's always going to be strings pulled when you have, it's easy, like I said this before, it's easy for us to be swayed and duped when we're not all engaged with it. So, you know, people all have this fear of this, this paranoia of this big government stage play that goes on, but that only takes place when we're not engaged, you know, or that's only easy for that to happen.
Right.
The power belongs to the people.
Yeah.
And people have to realize that you can't defer that power to a person who has a title. The power is within yourself. And people really sort of defer to someone else to it's their job. It's you know, something that they do. And the Republicans are going to, he's not going to get anything done. They're going to make him look bad. They're going to pitch laws and bills toward him that he's going to be ideologically against. He's not going to agree with that. So he's going to kick it back. They're going to say, now listen, now he's the guy that doesn't want to do business, and it's going to make him look bad. And it's just going to be a political football game at that point. This is a strategy that they're going to start pitching for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
There's going to be nothing that's going to get done, because they're going to come so far from the other side and try to make him look bad and say, well, he doesn't want to, you know, come together. And they're saying, well, you're trying to tear down things that I built, or, you know, things that you already know that I am against. And from that point forward, it's just going to be, and politically, we need to look towards, you know, the next administration. And see what which we have an advantage, because we see what happened before the midterm elections,
right,
and then what we're going to witness going after the midterm elections, then it'll put us into a position is that we need a balance, yeah. And that's what our government is about. It's about balance.
But that was going to be my next question. You know, in terms of now, because people may feel like, you know what, all hope is gone. You know what I'm saying? Because we didn't get the midterms taken care of, and so all the hope is gone. But my question to you all is you all knowing this process and knowing what needs to be done, what can somebody do now to help 2016? Or do we got to even wait till 2016? What can we be doing now?
Definitely have to wait till 2016.
We all have to get registered. We have to get registered.
You got to increase the registration. But I think more so importantly is you have to care enough. You have to raise your level of consciousness. It's really got to start with something on the inside of you to really look at your condition and look at the past conditions and look at the history of your condition and people that look like your condition. And really find it in you to be consciously risen, you know, for your conscience to be raised that high,
yeah,
to really understand what is it going to take, because it's going to take more than just voting. Because you can be, I mean, there's people that have, you know, registered to vote, and then, you know, they vote unconsciously, aka people who think that you vote Democrat because you're black. You know what I'm saying? So I think that
we're going to talk about that in a second too, because I feel like this. Do you think people have this allegiance to being Democratic because, you know, their parents may have been Democratic, or, you know, they're African American, so they assume they're supposed to be Democratic? How do we get out of that mindset and focus more on the policies that these people are putting into place and what somebody did when they finally got in office, if they followed up what they said they were going to do? How do we get that mindset spread throughout the community?
Well, I think first of all, we have to say we have options. Mm. We can't feel enslaved to two parties, you know. And as far as political ideology,
yeah,
that to me, first of all, is a it's not fair to, you know, for people coming behind us, because we can't, you know, we can only keep talking about why things are the way they are. We are not, like I just mentioned a few minutes ago, the condition.
Yeah.
If you want things to change, if you want certain laws to, you know, to be prohibited, and especially, like the what's coming up now is the Stand Your Ground, you know, which is something that now pretty much nobody's going to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to wallow in this self-pity. Oh, my goodness, we didn't get it done again. You know, I'm telling you, the state of Ohio looked like that Verizon commercial with all those red dots on it. It looked like somebody's two-year-old kid, you know, just came in and marked a couple, you know, blue mm-hmm. spots in there.
Wow.
Because, you know, that it was that less of engagement. And I think that, you know, because... First, another thing, Democrats haven't worked hard enough for their people. They haven't worked hard enough. They're too on the ropes. And you know what you look like when you're on the ropes in the boxing ring.
Mm-hmm.
You don't look strong enough. And right now, we're at a day and a time when we don't need on the ropes leadership. You know, we need somebody that's going to come out of the corner, you know, as if they put that much effort into,
yes,
you know, fighting for this thing, fighting for people in a championship manner, instead of, you know, constantly being on the ropes about certain things. And I think that's what keeps, you know, that's what keeps killing the faith in the democratic process and the political process, where people don't want to vote.
Yeah.
You know, because people see that there is only a, you know, it's almost
handful
like
of people that are actually out there really fighting off of the ropes.
Yeah, we got to call out leadership. We got to call out when we see mistakes, when we see wrongdoing, when we see corruption. You know, we can't just recklessly follow people because, you know, they have, you know, a good mark or something that we like about them. You know, it could be a physical attribute. Some people vote for people because of the way they look, talk, or you know, they show a facade of a great family or what's supposedly American. I think what we really have to do is dig deeper and look into the issues and say, what does this person stand for? Do they say what they do and do it? Or
right.
do they just talk the talk and don't walk it? And I think that, you know, there are, whether it's Republican, whether it's Democrat, whether it's Green Party, whether it's Independent, there are lots of, in order for us to be a melting pot that we're honestly supposed to be, we need to, you know, be able to take slices from each area mm-hmm. and implement. There's good ideas coming from great people and different parties. We need to stop, you know, kind of looking at it from an individualized party and saying, this is a Democrat, I'm gonna vote for a Democrat. Or this is a Republican, I'm going to vote for a Republican. You know, we have to look at things, you know, holistically and not just, you know, from a global point of view,
yeah.
because that's how you get skewed, is because you vote for a Democrat, and that Democrat may have a lot of, you know, stuff going on in their closet you have no idea about until there's a scandal.
Yeah.
And then now it's a big deal.
So in terms of the Count Me In campaign, I mean, what are you guys doing now? What's the next step for you all?
Well, we're filming a documentary, mm-hmm. the Count Me In documentary, and that's you can see a lot of our clips on our partner station with the TV show The Boo on Instagram.
Cool.
And but we want to make sure that we get this message out about self-empowerment. You know, that's what Count Me In has been about. It's been about counting yourself in the process that governs your life, in the policy-making process.
Yeah.
Too many times we're steady at the battle of inclusion, you know, for diversity. We're still looking for to find a way to be considered equal.
Yeah.
Like I just saw the other day on Thursday night that they were talking about the grand jury in Ferguson not, you know, prosecuting or possibly not prosecuting Darren Wilson. Mm-hmm. Another case down in Beaver Creek, Ohio, where John Crawford was killed. You know, this now I want to know if a lot of people know this. This same officer that killed John Crawford also has. He's the only police officer in Beaver Creek, Ohio, to be involved in police-related shootings.
Wow. He had one previous.
Had another, and I think it was in 2010.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he's the only officer in Beaver Creek, Ohio. Not to mention, you have Ronald Ritchie, mm-hmm. who lied, you know, and who basically manipulated.
And hasn't been persecuted.
And has not been prosecuted once. So if we want to, you know, draw a line with the whole racial question, you know, we want to erase it, but we have to look at, you know, once again, it may not be done with a blacks and whites sign, mm-hmm. you know, but there's a way where the system is leveraged against, you know, one side. And does still happen. But
we have to change policy.
Yeah.
And that's what the Count Me In campaign is doing. We're advocating for new laws that are going to be controls over officers in a similar cases mm-hmm. where they, if you already have a excessive force or police shooting, that there's stronger controls from a federal level with the U.S. mm-hmm. Department of Justice instead of it just being an internal, you know, judge, jury, executioner situation.
Right.
You know, the Count Me In documentary is really going to address a lot of things that have been going on that predate the social media age that we're in right now. And it's going to talk about how do we move forward. We need to have policies that support, you know, fairness and diversity, inclusion, and we need to revamp police training. These things, these are nationwide, this is very systemic.
Yeah.
And what we need to do is you know, there are other types of laws where, you know, someone gets kidnapped or something happens and then they have so-and-so's law.
Amber alert, you know, we
need a Mike Brown law or Trayvon Martin law.
Yeah.
We need laws that say, you know, these are going to be the consequences. If you get accused of a sex of force, then what's going to happen is you're going to be automatically suspended with pay pending an investigation.
Important.
You settle out of court, then, you know, we're advocating for the penalty to be that, you know, you're no longer a police officer. We cannot have two and three, you know, offenses of officers where we find out this is their third case
down
that they've had. You know, what job can you work and have those same circumstances?
Man.
But also I want to add to even with like you just said, because this is something that we kind of been throwing out. These are ideas we've been, you know, how we can advocate for a police, you know, anti-police brutality. And I think that even charges being pressed,
mm-hmm.
depending on the severity of the charge after the investigation, you know.
Absolutely.
When I sat on a panel over at Smyrna Baptist Church for, you know, with police brutality. And there's a bunch of these town hall meetings coming up right now, and they're good.
Right.
They're good, but you don't have the people in the room that you don't
need
want
to be in
the
room.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But you also do have, you know, you have the officials coming out. You do have the deputy police chief coming out. You do have the deputy sheriff coming out. You do have members of the courts coming out. And they're showing face, but we're not showing up. And they're coming to, and they're doing something that usually never really happens.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming to our communities. But once again, the reason why is because people don't, they've lost faith in, you know, it almost looks like, they're tired of the same song and dance. It looks like a dog and pony show. And, you know, and I think that the one thing that we need to discuss with all of this is, and it all speaks to us, is being that level of conscious. You know, look at where the majority of most of our focuses are.
Yeah.
You know, we don't care about anything until it's a major shooting, but we can't show up on election day.
It's always reaction as opposed to proaction.
We need to be proactive, and that's what we're looking for.
Important. Now, man, time flies. So listen, tell me this. Tell me how somebody can get involved with the campaign, where they can go to see the campaign and see the documentary, what you guys have coming up, your Instagrams, Twitters.
I tell you what, the documentary is going to be at the Drexel. We're going to have a party at the Drexel.
We already have that arranged.
And people want to visit us, they can visit us on TV show The Booth.
Yes.
On Instagram, same thing on Facebook. You can check my man Shay Tolliver out at the Founder 100 on Instagram. And, you know, that's basically where you can find all of our stuff. Also at MinorityFilmCoalition.com is our website. It has all of our media and all that good stuff. So, yeah, that's where they can find
us. Listen, man, Power 107.5, you tuned in at any given Sunday. Don't go anywhere.